Today's reading is from Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 14 and can be found on page 1013 in the church Bibles. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." This is the word of the Lord.
Please keep the passage open in front of you and do grab the handout you were given as you came in. You can follow through on there, the sermon notes. The passage is the passage that Hilary read, not the passage that's at the top of the sheet there. And if you want a pen, you can wave a hand. I'm sure someone will grab you one so that you can fill in the gaps if you want to as we go through. Well, I wonder what you think faith is. In Alice in Wonderland, the Queen of Hearts and Alice have a conversation, and it goes a little bit like this. Alice says, at one point, "One can't believe in possible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen of Hearts. "When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." Now, for many, that's faith. It is believing impossible things. And therefore, faith is, if you want to fill it out on the sheet, faith is irrational. It's irrational. It's illogical. It's not about piecing things together and coming to a conclusion. It's just finding impossible things and believing them. But also for many, faith is divorced from real life. You've got your faith, things you believe, and then you've got real life, which is your work, your family, your school, that kind of stuff. And you've got faith and you've got real life, and the two are separate. And therefore, faith is impractical. That's the next thing on the sheet if you want to fill it out. So faith is seen by many as irrational, believe impossible things, and impractical, separate from real life. Well, if we think that, then we certainly haven't grasped what Jesus teaches about faith. And this passage is about faith. Let me just show you that that's what the passage is about. A man brings his boy, who is in a terrible state, who is possessed by an evil spirit. He brings his son to Jesus. But Jesus isn't around. Actually, Jesus is up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. We saw that in the passage last week. So Jesus isn't around, so the man brings his son and brings him to Jesus' disciples and pleads with them to deal with the evil spirit. But they can't. And the fact that they can't causes Jesus to say, in verse 19, "O unbelieving generation." Literally, "O faithless generation." Jesus is saying of all of them, "You lot don't have faith." Now that's striking, given the fact that in the previous chapter, there has been what looks like a declaration of faith. Peter, who it looks like is sort of representing the disciples, declares of Jesus, "You are the Christ." There you've got someone declaring their faith. "You're the Christ. You're the King." And yet here is Jesus saying, "You are a faithless generation." What is it that they haven't grasped? You see, there's been a declaration, but there's something they've not got about faith if they're an unbelieving generation. So we're going to see three things about faith that they hadn't grasped. And the first is this. You see it on your sheet. Faith knows its weakness. Faith knows its weakness. What's going on here? Why can't they cast out this demon? You see, this would have been a surprise to them that they couldn't cast out this evil spirit, because they had done so before. In chapter 6, Jesus had given them authority over evil spirits. So in chapter 6, they'd gone out and they'd been able to cast out demons. And presumably, they thought they could do the same thing. Here's a boy possessed by an evil spirit. We'll just do what we did before. But it's not working. And you have to piece it together, but it looks like what they're doing is they're assuming they should be able to deal with this and not looking to God. Let me show you why I think that's the case. When Jesus says, "O unbelieving generation," he then goes on to say in verse 19, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And maybe there's a little hint there. Maybe there's a hint there of saying, that's what you should have done in the first place. You should have brought him to me. But certainly, later on, when the disciples ask Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" Jesus says, verse 29, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Now, we'll come back to that in a bit. But notice, they didn't pray. They thought they could deal with this by themselves. They didn't think they needed to bring the boy to Jesus. They didn't pray about it. They thought they'd be all right on their own. And certainly, when it comes to the boy's father, when Jesus says to the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" in verse 21, the father then explains, and presumably Jesus doesn't need to know these details before casting out the evil spirit. What's he doing? He's wanting the father to express, to confess that how desperate the situation is. So you piece all that together, and what you see is the disciples think they can deal with this on their own. Jesus wants the father to know how desperate the situation is, that his only hope is in Jesus. You see, what Jesus is saying to them is, you need to know your weakness. So have we recognized our weakness? Have you recognized your weakness? We're far weaker than we'd like to admit. And it's not a nice thing to admit, is it, when we're weak? I don't know if you've had that experience where you used to be able to do something nice and easily, but now you struggle to do it. And you think, I'm weak, I can't do this. That's the realization we all need about our whole lives. You see, again, on the sheet, it says we are weak when it comes to, well, day-to-day life. Just day-to-day life. You see, we separate out faith and life, and by doing that, what we're saying is, God, your area is the faith bit. That's where you're in control. But life, that's my bit. I deal with that, my job, my family, my school. That's my area, and I'm in control of those things. But one of our realizations needs to be, we are weak in all those areas. God is in control of them all. In the New Testament, in the book of James, James writes this in this letter. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You see, James is saying, how strong are we? We're a mist. We don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Our day-to-day lives, actually, we are weak. When it comes to having a good marriage, raising your children, when it comes to career, retirement, health, we like to think we're strong, but we're weak. And we're weak, particularly when it comes to battling evil. Again, a next point on the sheet. When it comes to battling evil, we're weak. Just like the disciples couldn't deal with this evil spirit. Well, we know, okay, we may not have an evil spirit in us, but we know from earlier in Mark that we all have evil inside us. We have jealousy, anger, unkind thoughts and words and actions, our greed, our envy, our gossiping, our lust. We all have evil inside us. And there are two lies we tell ourselves about the evil in our hearts. One is we think to ourselves, it's not that bad really. It's not that dangerous really. And the second thing we think is we can manage it. In spite of the fact that time and time and time again we fall for it, we keep thinking to ourselves, I can deal with that evil in my heart. I should be able to deal with it. I must try harder. But we're weak. On our own, we can't battle those things. And furthermore, the Bible says when it comes to dealing with our guilt, our past wrongs, the Bible's very clear, we can't wipe it out. We can't deal with our sin, our guilt. And when I mean guilt, I don't just mean guilty feelings from the past. I mean guilt for our past actions, the things we've actually done wrong, which stand against us before God. We have no power to get rid of them. It's not like we can do extra good things to get rid of the bad things. You see, the Bible doesn't teach that when we die, we go to God and God has scales in front of him. For some reason, people think that's Christianity. It's not. It's not that God has scales and he weighs up our good deeds and our bad deeds and sees which one, you know, where the balance goes. It's not that by doing bad things, you can make up for it by doing good things. Our bad record stands against us. And none of us has the power to get rid of it. We are weak when it comes to our guilt. Have you recognized your weakness? It's an essential first step, but humbling, isn't it? One of my favorite parts of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is a science fiction book, a very funny book. One of my favorite bits, I think I've told you this bit before, is when an alien army decide they're going to wipe out Earth. And they zoom across the galaxy. And there's big sort of, you know, here they come, they're going to destroy mankind. But due to a catastrophic miscalculation, the entire army is swallowed by a small dog. It's a wonderful moment. I loved it when I first read that, and I've spoiled the book for you. But it's a wonderful moment. But there you go, this wonderful big army coming to deal with it, and actually they've miscalculated, and we do something similar. We miscalculate our strength. We think we're powerful when we are very weak. And we need to recognize that weakness before God. But second, Faith relies on Jesus. The father ends his description of the child's problems, and he says at the end of it, in verse 21, end of verse 21, he says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." There's a desperation there, isn't there? If you can do anything for my child, if you can do anything. But Jesus picks up on those words. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Which is not saying believe and you can do whatever you want. But it is saying, have you seen Jesus' power? He's saying, if you can, do you know my power? Do you know what I can do for any who put their trust in me? Have you seen Jesus' power? If you haven't yet, or if you're new to Mark's Gospel or new to these things, go back over Mark's Gospel, have a read of the opening chapters, and you see time and time again the power and authority of Jesus, that he can cast out demons, that he can heal sickness with a touch, that he can calm a storm with a word, that he can raise the dead. This man has ultimate power and ultimate authority. And therefore, if we see our weakness and we see Jesus' strength, it is not irrational to put our faith in Jesus. It's the most rational, logical thing that you can do. He has the strength. We don't. He has the strength over day-to-day life. If Jesus is the Christ, he's the King, which means he's King over the whole of your life, not just the faith area, but every bit of it, health, family, marriage, every bit we can bring to him. He has the power over evil. We can see that here. He can deal with it. The things you and I struggle with in our hearts, the addictions we struggle to deal with and think we should be able to manage on our own, the evil in our hearts that we are weak to deal with, Jesus has the strength. And over our guilt, that's what he came to die to deal with, that all our sin on him was laid, that he took our wrongs so that we might be set free from our wrongdoings, washed clean by his blood. He and he alone has the power to deal with our guilt. Now we need a warning, and the warning is on the sheet. We need a warning, don't we? Even when we see our weakness, we will still be tempted to go anywhere but Jesus. So just because we get to a point of weakness, of recognizing our weakness, we see actually day to day we're not as powerful as we like to think, or our addictions or our weaknesses or the evil in our hearts, we go, actually, yeah, I can't deal with that. Or a whole load of things where we go, I can't deal with that. Our temptation then won't necessarily be to bring them to Jesus. Our temptation will be to look almost anywhere else. So we might turn to family, to our spouse. We might turn to medics or counselors or to one another without first turning to Jesus. Now, I'm not at all saying you shouldn't look to those things for help. Those things are very important, and the Lord can use those things. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't go to counselors or don't go to the doctor or don't go. I'm not saying that. But the Lord has brought those crises, those weaknesses into our lives, that realization that we can't deal with things, so that we will put our trust in him first and foremost. Yes, use those other things. The Lord can use those, definitely. But as you're going through those crises, as you're going through that difficulty, whatever it is, as we're battling with things, ask yourself, am I being thrown more onto Jesus' power, onto relying on him, or onto something else? Because if those other things that we look to, if they're not Christians, they're not going to encourage you to throw yourself on Jesus, are they? They're likely to say, look into yourself, or look to something else. But they're not going to encourage you to look to Jesus. But Jesus has got you to that point so that you will look to him first and foremost. Yes, go to the doctor, go to counseling. Don't stop doing those things. But look first and foremost to Jesus and his power. And that's what faith is. relying on Jesus for everything, depending on him for everything, for the day-to-day, for battling evil, for dealing with our guilt. It is the most practical thing that you can do, is to bring anything and everything to Jesus. So, thirdly, and lastly, faith prays. This is the essential outworking of faith, without which we actually show we don't have faith. The disciples ask Jesus, we've already seen this, why couldn't we drive out the evil spirit? And he replies, verse 29, this kind can come out only by prayer. Now that response should shock us. That the disciples, they're dealing with a boy who is possessed by an evil spirit, and they don't pray. They don't pray. That's stunning, isn't it? How could you not pray at that point? When Jesus says, this kind can come out only by prayer, he's not saying this kind of evil spirit, but there are other kinds of evil spirit that will come out other ways. He's just saying this kind, in other words, evil spirits, they can only come out by prayer. And you didn't do that. Now, just get what that means. Jesus is saying they're an unbelieving generation. They've made a declaration of their faith in Jesus, but he's saying you're unbelieving. Why? Because you're not praying. Do you see? If we claim to be Christians, but we're not praying, then the practical reality is we're showing that we don't really believe. Because if we believed, we would say, well, we're weak and Jesus is strong, therefore I must pray. I really believe it. I must pray about anything, about everything. See, we may declare our faith on a Sunday, singing of Jesus' greatness and power, but if we aren't praying day by day, then we still have unbelief in our hearts, don't we? Because if I'm not praying, then what I'm really saying is, either I can manage this, thank you, or, Jesus, I don't really think you're that powerful. But faith says, I'm weak and Jesus is strong, so I must pray. Prayer should be a constant in our lives, shouldn't it? And don't forget, you can talk to the Lord whenever and wherever you are. Some people think, okay, prayers must be in a sort of liturgical form. They must be in set prayer form. And they don't realize that actually you can just talk to the Lord. If they're Christians, if you're a Christian, you can just talk to the Lord. He's your Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from you. You can talk to him any moment of the day. So husbands and wives, before you have that difficult conversation with your spouse, will you pray? When you know you need to talk to your children about something, will you pray before you do it? When you're confronted with your sin that dominates your life, will you pray? When faced with health issues, mental health problems, will we pray? In every circumstance, will you pray? If you knew your life depended on it, what difference would that make to your prayer life? We knew someone, a friend of ours in Hove, when we were there before we moved here, who I think he did exercise in his life. He was a fairly fit guy, but he had a heart attack, and the doctor said, you need to be doing more exercise. Your life depends on it. It transformed his week. All of a sudden, he was doing lots of exercise. Now, taking medical advice as to how he should do it, but he was then doing a lot of exercise because he knew his life depended on it. If you thought prayer, your life depended on prayer, how would that change your week, your day? Your life does depend on prayer. My life depends on prayer. It should change, shouldn't it? It should change us as a church, as individuals. But don't you find, when you're confronted like this, that your heart sinks and you think, yeah, I don't do it, do I? The unbelief in my heart is there for me to see. Take heart, take courage. from this man who comes to Jesus with his son and the response he gives. Verse 24, when he says, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." That's so realistic, isn't it? Isn't that where you and I are? I do believe, Lord. I do pray sometimes, but I also don't believe. I can see that because I don't pray about some things and I should. Lord, help me with my unbelief. And Jesus responds to him. That's encouraging, isn't it? I believe, but I don't believe. Lord, help me. Now, I want to give us a few moments of quiet to pray. We're going to just have a few moments so that you can respond to this passage. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to come into a relationship with God. The Bible doesn't encourage us to think that we can bring our troubles in our lives to God without first coming into a relationship with him. But you can do that. You can come into a relationship with God through Jesus. Start by recognizing your need of Jesus. Recognize your weakness to deal with your sin. Recognize that Jesus is Lord and has the power to deal with your sin, and ask him for forgiveness. Bring your wrong to him and start to live for him in dependence upon him. You may not be at that point yet, in which case can I encourage you to talk to me afterwards. Come on Christianity Explored if you're able, but find out more. And if you're a Christian, use these few minutes. Maybe there are areas of your life that you haven't yet brought before the Lord. Admit your powerlessness and come to Jesus for his strength. Maybe you need to say, "I believe, help me with my unbelief." I'm going to give us a few moments. Brian's going to play the piano as we just have a few moments to come before the Lord.